Hear the word of God. Hello. Y'all, we're here for worship. Yeah. Okay. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And that is why we gather together. It's to praise and worship this God who loves us and redeems us and cares for us all the days of our lives. So we're glad that you've come in out of the cold so that we can do that together. Do note, there's green envelopes still in the pews. This will be the last chance that you get for now to put something in them. But if you do use one of the green envelopes, that money will go to our East Texas Children's Choir. And so I hope you'll give that prayerful consideration. But be aware, we're going to have men's prayer breakfast because we're already entering a new month coming up. And also in the bulletin are our Holy Week services from Palm Sunday to sunrise services and pancake breakfast and all of that stuff. So make sure you take that home with you. When we do come to Palm Sunday, we will process in with palm branches, those who wish. So I hope if you want to get here a few minutes early, we'll gather in the lobby and then we'll process in with our palm branches to begin Holy Week in that manner. Anyway, glad you're here. If you would, turn to those around you, welcome them with the peace and fellowship of Jesus Christ. Kip, how are you? Good. I'm doing well. Join me, please, in the call to worship. Be glad in our God and rejoice. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Know that God's love is lavished upon you forever. We rejoice at the news of forgiveness, hope, and God's welcome. And let us pray. Gracious God, as we continue our Lenten journey to the cross, we come this morning to thank you that Calvary is not the end of the road, but simply the pathway to a deeper, fuller life that you have provided for us all in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We rejoice that in Christ we can dare to face the truth about ourselves because we know the deeper truth of your reconciling love, a love revealed in the Father running to welcome his wayward Son home with outstretched arms, a love that prompted your only Son to willingly stretch out his arms on the cross, a love that surrounds us even now as we gather in his name. We ask that the love revealed in Christ would be experienced anew in our worship this morning so that we may leave this place with transformed hearts and imaginations, eager to be ambassadors for Christ and his message of reconciling love. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship God together. Let's do that as we stand and sing hymn 85. If you want to grab your hymnal, let's stand and sing What Wondrous Love Is This, hymn 85.
Despite our failings, shortcomings, and sin, God desires to offer us his best. The Bible tells us that at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. It is in this restored relationship that God has made possible with the gift of His Son, our Savior Jesus, we can carefully enjoy God's blessing. So let us confess our sins together with the confident knowledge we are forever dependent upon God's grace. Gracious God, whose mercy is higher than the heavens, wider than the wanderings, and deeper than all our sin, receive again your bewildered and broken people. Forgive our folly and our excess, our coldness to human sorrow, our passion for things of the moment. Change our hearts and turn all our desires to your way, that we may love what you love and do what you command. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen.
Children of God, hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, and it's Christ that died for us. Christ rose in power for us. Christ reigns with God for us. And Christ, even now, prays for us. Friends, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are indeed forgiven. And let that good news just sink into our hearts, and may it spring us to our feet as we stand together and sing the Gloria Patri. The Apostle Paul that declared, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And I can't wait to see the new things God is going to do with the time, the talent, and the resources that we make available for His use. And that spirit of expectant hope, let us give to God our tithes and our offerings so that God might continue doing new things in our midst. Thank you.
For the wondrous gift of life, we are thankful, O God. Your generous outpouring of grace reminds us of the fruitful life we are called to bear. May these gifts of love, time, and labor, therefore, embody our desire to share and contribute to your coming reign among us. In his name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated unless you're our young ones. And by our young ones, you guys are already up here. Yeah, good deal. Does any of our other young ones want to come on down? Okay, good deal. Looking good. You know, hopefully you've heard it said when you've been in church that God loves us. God loves us all. And we know that Jesus loves us. Or at least that's what we hear so often in church. How many of you have ever really wondered if God really, truly loves you? Especially as much as we say God does. Has anybody ever wondered if God loves them? Well, you know, some people, in their regular relationships, they might wonder if someone loves them. You know, there's just maybe one or two times when I was your age, I got in trouble. And I did something my parents told me not to do. And when I got in trouble, I wondered if they'd still love me. But you know, they did. Thank goodness. In France, they started sort of a game about love. I don't know if you've ever seen this or heard of it before. But in France, if you wanted to know if somebody loved you, like if I wanted to know if Virginia loves me, I could say, she loves me, and I pull off a petal. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me, and I keep doing that until all the petals are off the flower. And whatever petal I'm left with, that's going to let me know whether she loves me or not. Have y'all ever heard of that? She loves me, she loves me not. Do y'all want a flower where y'all can do it? Okay. Who wants a flower so that they can do it? Okay, there you go. Okay. Here's some yellow. There's some. Anybody else? Yes, no, maybe? Y'all come over here with your flowers. Let's come right here and think of somebody that might love you, and you can do it and see how you come out. Just go ahead and do it. You know, she loves me, she loves me not. And see how you come out. Do it with one of your flowers. Can you think of somebody and just say, he loves me, he loves me not? Here, tell you what, let's think about God, okay, or Jesus. You want to do that? He loves me, he loves me not, 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 he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. Where do you think I'm going to end up? He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. Uh-oh. He loves me not. Oh, no, I'm out of petals. Do you think that's a good way to tell if God loves me? You say no? Yeah, because it's just a game. That's not how we find out if God loves me. Here, y'all have a seat, and I'll tell you what Jesus did. He was talking to a group like us, and he said, you know, there was this boy who went to his father, and he said, Dad, I want you to give me all my inheritance. I want you to give me all the allowance I could ever have. And the father said, well, okay, son, here you go. And you know what the son did? He left home. He left home and he went far away to another land and he spent all the money that his dad gave him until he became poor. And he lived a crazy life, one that his father wouldn't be very proud of. He even failed at business. He didn't do well with his work. And he ended up, because he was starving to death, having to feed pigs. One day he was feeding the pigs, and he was so hungry. He had no money, he had no home, he had no friends. And he goes, wow, even the pigs have food and I don't have any. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back home. But I've blown it. I've lived in ways that aren't good. I wonder what Dad's going to do when I come home. He was wondering, I wonder if he'll love me or love me not. And I want you to hear, what do you think happens when he comes home? What do you think his dad's going to do after he blew all his money, he failed at work, he lived with some crazy people, and he ended up being homeless and poor? What do you think his father's going to do? The son goes home, and this is what it says. The son arose, and he came to his father, but while he was still far off at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion. And his father ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the father interrupted him. He said to the servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. You were right. Jesus was telling this to the people because he didn't want them to pull on flowers and play a silly game of he loves me not. He wanted people to know that God the Father loved them. And if they would just turn to God, God would welcome them. And then Jesus proved that love. He went to a cross. And he let people do really bad things to him. But he did it so he could forgive them. So that they would know how much God loves them. And God does love you. And you need to know that in the very depths of your heart. Because that is why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to forgive our sins so that we could enjoy the love of our Father, our Heavenly Father, forever and ever and ever. Tell you what, why don't we pray and thank God for that great love he has for us all. God, thank you for loving us, and most of all, not just telling us, but showing us your great love by giving us the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for how he died for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And thank you that your love welcomes us even now and always. For it's in his great name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming up. Y'all can go back to your seats. And does anybody want a flower that didn't get one? You want another one? Go ahead. That's okay. Here you go. There, you got anybody else? Yes, yes. Can y'all share? Okay. Y'all give them a round of applause. Let's sing our next hymn. It's hymn 362, I Love the Lord Who Heard My Cry. Grab your hymnals and let's stand and sing, I Love the Lord Who Heard My Cry. Thank you.
Our Old Testament reading of Psalm 32 will be a responsive reading where I read a verse and then you read the next verse. Psalm 32 is found on page 506 of your Pew Bible. It is a psalm that expresses the joy that comes from having our guilt removed, our sin forgiven. It reminds us God is for us and not against us. We remember in this reading that when we do turn to God, we discover the joy that God has already turned towards us, eager to be our Lord and Savior. May we read this prayerfully and responsively. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let us faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Without love, every form.
Good words for sure. Thank you, choir. I'm going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, if you want to follow along. And I'm going to actually just read verse 1 through 2 and then jump over to verse 11, where Jesus gives the parable of the prodigal sons. But before I read from Luke's Gospel, let us ask God's blessing. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Hear now God's word. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." And Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and he traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I'll get up and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and he went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion and ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, go out, go bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and he asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and he refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A girl named Zoe lost her dog. And sad that her dog had gone missing, she got busy making signs or posters. Of course, at the top it said, "Missing dog." And then below, she had written a very detailed description of what the dog looked like so that people would know how to recognize her dog. And at the very bottom of the poster, she, of course, put her name Zoe and left her phone number so that hopefully if somebody found the dog, they could call her. A friend of hers, however, wisely suggested, "Hey, Zoe, why don't you put up a sign that the dog can read?" And Zoe said, "What? What do you mean a sign that my dog could read?" Well, you see, she and her dog had been hiking in the woods the other day, and when she and her dog were going down the trail, the dog saw a coon, took out after it, and that's when the dog got lost. And her friend said, "Why don't you take a piece of your clothing, go back to that trail and leave it there, and maybe the dog will return." Well, Zoe was desperate to try anything, so she thought, well, okay. She got one of her t-shirts. She went back to where they had been hiking the other day. She put her shirt down, and she called, and she looked, but no dog. She went home, and that night she went to sleep, and when she woke up the next morning, she went to retrieve her t-shirt. And when she did, she found that the dog was lying on her shirt. Needless to say, there was a most happy reunion. Zoe and the lost dog and the prodigal sons and their father are both telling us that we have a God, a Father in heaven, that doesn't want a single solitary child of His lost. And due to His magnanimous love for all, God rejoices when His children return home. In this parable of the two prodigal children, we find in the Father the picture of a God who's eager to bring us home and welcome us in. God is eager to welcome us in a reunited relationship. And like Zoe, it's as if God has put out a poster or a shirt. You see, God does that so that we know where to find Him. Not too long ago, I was doing a funeral, and I read from John 14. You know that passage? It says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you." And as I read those words, I wondered if some of the people standing at graveside could hear God saying to them, "I've built a mansion just for you. And I gave you Jesus so that He could show you the way to journey home." And I think even in the church, God puts out shirts and signs so that we know where to find God. Scripture is obviously a big one. It points us to the journey home. Our congregation is to be a sign for the community, pointing the way to the One who truly gives life to those that are far and to those that are near. And whenever we come to the communion table, like we will next Sunday, I always pray that we can hear God, our Father, saying, "You know, I've been looking everywhere for you. I love you. I've missed you. Welcome home. Have a seat. Enjoy the feast. Let's spend some time together." Communion, the Lord's Supper, is an earthly sign that points to how God wants us to be at home with Him. The theme of home captures my attention in this story of these two prodigal sons. Home can seem far away, and we long to go back and experience it once more. Or we can be living at home, but not really truly engaged with the family, which makes us feel like we are far away. In this parable, the younger son experience of being far from home is a metaphor for human estrangement from God. Conversely, being at home and coming inside the house is a good picture of a restored relationship with God. And home is seen as a state of being rather than a physical place. And I think that's why we have the expression, home is where the heart is. It's that place where we know we're accepted. It's that place where we know we are welcomed. It's that place where we know we will be taken care of. It's that place that we know is safe. And thus, it's a place we love, and it needs no physical address to mark its spot. Interestingly enough, the opposite is seen in the older brother who feels exiled even though he's never physically left home like the younger brother. He's been living on the inside of home all along, but we hear in his protest how he really feels he's on the outside. Is it any wonder then the loving father goes out of the house to welcome home the younger, and the father goes out of the house again to welcome in the older? We can use the experience of homelessness and homecoming to gain more insight into our own relationship with God the Father. The younger son's homesickness is at a deep level, and it gives him this desire to return to God. Or in the parable, his father. I believe that feelings like that we experience, those feelings of homesickness and homecoming, are feelings that can point us toward God, and feelings that are ultimately fulfilled and satisfied only, ultimately, in God. And if we try to satisfy that longing for home by going to some other place, we'll always end up with this hunger inside that's never satisfied. As a pastor, I've encountered a lot of people that have lived pretty incredible lives. They've had a wide variety of experiences, but they've shared how they never felt at home with themselves, with others, until they realized they needed to be at home with God. I've seen many people who knew deep down inside something was missing, but they didn't realize what it was until they became very involved with God and God's people. It was then they would tell you, "Ah, I feel so at home now." The story this morning gives us the picture of turning and returning toward the home that we have with God's loving, forgiving presence. The role of the father in the parable is central. The father's role reminds us that in our lifelong journey home to God, God is the central character. It is God who seeks us and brings us home, offering us far more than we deserve, desire, or even anticipate. And it is the call of this Lenten season, and the call of God on our lives to return to God is an invitation given by a God who loves us passionately and welcomes us vigorously into His eternal household. Unlike the younger son who loses himself by being self-destructive, the older son loses himself by trying to be perfect. The older son never disobeyed any commands. I mean, the older son has worked diligently for his father for years. He's played by the rules, and yet he feels like a slave. We discover in the protest of his younger brother's warm welcome that he feels exiled without ever leaving home. And what is worse, and like his younger brother, the older chose to live this way. His father was there all along, offering the elder son the very best that he had to offer, but the older refused to receive anything from him. You know, there's many ways in which we can bring ourselves to a place of exile that these two brothers reach. We can fall into self-destructive patterns of behavior where we fail to care for ourselves. We compromise our values until we're no longer quite sure of what we stand for, and so we end up falling for just about anything. We try to be perfect, never realizing God loves us just the way we are. Or like the first grade daughter who came home from school and proudly announced to her dad that she had officially become a brownie, and her three-year-old younger brother, not to be outdone and only thinking for himself, jumped out in front of her and said, "And Dad, I'm a cupcake." There are many ways in which we can fall short and miss the mark. And the worst thing about any of these destructive patterns is, on some level, we do choose to live this way. There are behaviors that unfortunately exile us from ourselves, from others, and sadly our Creator God. But you know what is endearing about this prodigal story is it's not only about being exiled from God and ourselves, it's really about making the journey home. It begins with the younger son who is at his lowest point. And it's there that he comes to himself. There in his lowest of lows, he looks up. He returns to the self that he lost and almost destroyed. And in the midst of the pig pen, he hears his father's voice saying, "Come home. I don't want you lost. I don't want your life to be tragic. I want you here with me." Even more precious than considering the opportunity to return is what the younger discovers when he gets home. He assumes there'll be punishment, but what rushes out to meet him is far beyond what he could have imagined or deserved. Full and quick restoration, with the past completely and immediately forgiven, combined with a welcome that is ready to celebrate the return and the new life that lies ahead with the very best the Father has to offer. Despite the older son's complaint, the father leaves the party. He goes outside once again to bring the elder into a restored relationship as well. The father is quick to remind the indignant elder that all he has is available if he would simply just come inside and claim it. We're left wondering what the elder brother will do. Better yet, it might leave us wondering what would we do. During our season of Lent, as Jesus provides us with this parable, he's offering an image of himself. But you see, Jesus tells this story as he makes his way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the place that for the Israelites symbolizes the home of God. Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, the home of God. Jesus will willingly return to the holy city to face what the prodigal deserves. Herod will put an elegant robe on him and send him to Pilate. A crown of thorns will be placed on his head, and he'll be welcomed to hang on a cross. And in his dying, Jesus will meet us with those most unexpected words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I think we love this story not because of the grim picture it paints of human sin and how easily we can become estranged from God, but we love this story because no matter which prodigal or how prodigal we might be in our own life, it clearly illustrates the beauty of God's accepting, welcoming, extravagant love. If we would but give ourselves to it, we will find home sweet home. Amen. Because God's word has gone out in our midst and revealed that loving God that we have, we do know what we believe, and we can say something of what our faith entails. So let's respond to God's word by declaring what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us stand and announce our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let's enjoy God's welcome as we go to Him in prayer. Let us pray. House of prayer this morning. Turn our hearts once again to Jerusalem, to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that united with Christ and all the faithful, we might one day enter in triumph the city that's not made with human hands, the new Jerusalem, eternal in the heavens, where we might dwell and abide with You forever and ever. We rejoice that Christ's resurrection from the dead overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in Him. So our prayer is that You would help us to turn from the old ways that lead to death and help us to walk in the way that leads to life, the life that You designed, the life that You created, and the life that You offer us all. Forgive us for wandering from Your presence and ignoring Your blessings. In the midst of our brokenness, touch our wounds and relieve our hurts. Welcome us once more to the wholeness of life and restored relationship with You. Renew our strength and the health of those for whom we pray, that we may all mount up with wings like eagles, that we might indeed run and not be weary, that we would walk and not be faint. Do that as Your Holy Spirit strengthens our faith to trust You and to love Your way above that of our own. And be with all those people on our prayer list that have some most special needs and great challenges ahead. We have with You. Use our lives to welcome others home. Help us to celebrate with them the new life that they find in You. Raise up Your churches everywhere to point the way, which we know to be Jesus Christ, who while He was here on earth taught us to pray together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll sing our going out hymn. It's hymn 316. I hope you not only turn to that breathe on me breath of God, but let's sing hymn 316 prayerfully as we prepare to go out. Love of God, the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be in you and with you now and forever. Amen.